offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, a series where we discuss and study about Swami's discourses. We've been going through the 1990 Samukho series. We've completed it, in fact. And as a summary to that entire series, we took up the discourse which Swami gave right after the Samukhos, which was the message Swami gave during the Guru Purnima of that year, a discourse which has been aptly entitled The Guru Within. We've been going through this discourse for the past 3 or 4 weeks. We've played about 5 clips in that discourse. So today we'll endeavor to go further in that discourse as we've been through. If you've been with us in the past couple of weeks, you'll know that this is a very intense discourse. As always, Sai Prakash and myself, Prem from Team Radio Sai, are here to host this program for you. But like many times before, we also have a very learned guest who's going to be part of our discussion today. So on behalf of all of you, I invite V.S.R. Murthy sir. He's no stranger to the audience of Radio Sai. He's a regular contributor to all our programs, Telugu and English. A person who's had over 5 decades of association with Swami, and more importantly with Swami's message. We're indeed glad that sir has joined us today. So on behalf of all of you, I welcome him. Sairam sir.
Sairam.
And Sairam to Sai Prakash too.
Sairam Prem. Sir, it's a great privilege to have you here on the show. And when I had visited your house, I had seen some books which sir had written.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beautiful because he is steeped into the philosophy of what we are going to deal with today. And sir has written many books on the message of Sri Ramana Maharishi and Bhagwan. And he has read a lot on Advaitam. And I think you have given close to 100 talks, if I'm...
15,000.
15,000. I'm very sorry for my poor estimate. But I'm sure this is going to be a very enjoyable session for us.
Sure.
Because, you know, this is a topic which doesn't easily kindle interest in many people. But to have with us somebody who is steeped in this topic is really amazing. Sir, as Prem just summarized, we have been doing this series. And this is a discourse which Swami gave on the Guru Purnima of 1990. And there is a natural summary that Swami has given for the 16 discourses that he had given in the Samukhos. But very interestingly, Swami starts this discourse with the whole concept of, you know, the 3 states that we experience. The dream state, deep sleep state, and the waking state. And little bit of Ramana Maharshi that I have read, this is the starting point of his philosophy as well, where he really asks you, inquire, who am I across the 3 states.
True.
Isn't that right, sir?
Right.
So here we have, Swami has given a very quick summary of what the 3 states are. Possibly we could elaborate a little bit on that and start from there and go further.
Yeah.
So, a simple question to start this discussion. When we say waking state, sleep, sleeping state, and then deep sleep state, the question often is asked, who is the one who is experiencing them? So, I think that's the first question.
Yeah, very interesting. It's indeed a great pleasure on my part today,
sir,
to be with the two youngsters.
Yes, sir.
Who are deeply into the spiritual part of life under the tutelage of a great avatar, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, whom we endearingly and fondly call Swami.
Yes.
My salutations at his lotus feet for making youngsters understand the Indian spirituality in the correct perspective and to have a proper interpretation of the things that have been already expounded, propounded, and experienced by many a rishi. Here, the question is, these 3 are called avasthas, states. Mm-hmm. When we adore God, we always call him avasthatrayatitaha.
Mm-hmm.
Here, in this context, I would like to infer, this avasthatrayatitaha is not God alone. Mm-hmm. It is the jiva too.
Correct.
If one can easily understand through rigorous practice and intense pining, I am sure the I is in all the states.
Hmm.
The same eye which is in the state of Jagrat, it is indulging in so many karmic activities.
Mm-hmm.
The next step, that is Sukshma Sarira, Jagratavastha, Nidravastha,
mm-hmm.
in the state of sleep, the indriyas, the senses are put to rest.
Mm-hmm.
But mind is active.
Okay.
The mind is active because of the same eye. Mm-hmm. The eye is not gone. Either eye is triggering the mind, mm-hmm. or mind is associating with the eye.
Mm-hmm.
But eye is eternal,
mm-hmm.
even though it has already reached a state of dream.
Okay.
Then state of awakening,
mm-hmm.
that's early hours,
mm-hmm.
that what we generally refer to, Brahmi Muhurta.
Mm-hmm.
That is the time when all the senses tend to come back
mm-hmm.
to life
mm-hmm.
from hibernation, and get back into worldly activities. That is where the eye still persists. It is still exists there. Then the eye, which is in all the three states,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. is eternal.
Okay.
If a sadhaka understands that eye is eternal, permanent, whereas mind is a transient and impermanent,
mm-hmm.
and the transcending levels vary according to the impulses that are created by the world, then mind ceases to have its value. Then mm. I remains.
Mm.
Then when I alone remains, mind has no action. When I is not realized, mind becomes the master.
Mm.
It controls both within and without. The within, the senses, without the body.
Okay.
So there is a point
mm-hmm.
where it triggers all the stimulations and doesn't allow the jiva, the element of life or consciousness,
mm-hmm.
to get associated with its source.
Oh.
The source mm-hmm. being the I. For instance, you are talking about the deep sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Deep sleep, sound sleep,
mm-hmm.
long sleep,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
we get up. Immediately we say, we declare to the world or to the person nearby, last night I had a very beautiful sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's very peaceful. I enjoyed. So that I is still there in a state of, it is totally awoke
mm-hmm.
and it is absorbing, it is experiencing, and it is also transferring this information, transmitting the information to the mind.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is making you say, I am happy. Are you happy? We don't know.
Mm.
But mind says, I am very happy, I am peaceful, I am comfortable. It's a long time I had such a deep sleep.
Mm.
So in deep sleep also, mind is vigorously active. It is experiencing,
mm.
whereas I is remaining a state of witnessing.
Mm.
In Jagrat, when we are awake, when mm. we are fully, deeply, you know, like talking
mm.
now,
mm.
the I is watching us. Mind is making us talk. So the mind-eye combo, it
mm.
always makes the man
mm.
either active or passive. When you are active, we attribute to the mind. When we are passive, we attribute to the eye. But without eye, there is no mind.
Mm.
Here, we'll just get back to one Upanishad
mm-hmm.
called Kenopanishad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kenopanishad defines very clearly, mind triggers. It stimulates mm-hmm. all senses.
Mm-hmm.
All senses stimulate the body.
Okay.
So it is a combination
mm-hmm.
of three here.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Atma, which mm-hmm. we can call I, the real I,
mm-hmm.
mind, the pseudo I,
mm-hmm.
the body,
mm-hmm.
which has no link at all with mm-hmm. the real I.
Mind
is only a container, body is only a container.
Mm-hmm.
Content is the I. Content is the I. We don't give much importance to the I, the mm. content, but we are fascinated by the container. So the container-content relation in that,
mm.
you take a small tin in which you have put sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It is there. For the last 2 months, it is there.
Mm.
Sugar is not experiencing or is not associating with the container. Container is not tasting the sweetness that sugar can give.
Correct.
Though it is very close, still mm. it is holding. So also, the human body contains the real content called the I. So whether it is a content or a container, within or without, whether it is the three different states, these three different states are created by the mind, controlled by the time, influenced by the time,
correct,
experienced by the senses, okay, and enriched by our samskaras. There are traits and tendencies.
And memories.
And the traits and tendencies, the mula vasanas. Vasanas are memories, imprints, whatever you call, which we have accumulated over a period of series of births. And we can't correlate in which birth we got this and in which birth we got it off. We don't know. But we live in the present, but our link with the past is subtle. It is still there. Still, the same I is continuing through the body and it is experiencing. So this is how we have to understand these three avasthas. So in which avastha trayatitaha, that I is there. When you take the whole universe as a body, avastha traya atitaha is there. And who is that? He is called the Parabrahman. Because the same element, the same ray, the same particle of Parabrahman is in a human body, we call it
Jivatma.
So Jivatma and Paramatma, they are not different. They are one and the same. So the senses experience to the extent they can. The senses impart the experience to the mind again. And mind reflects what we experience. We may give a perfect narration of what dream we dreamt the last night. But we know it's nothing. So there is, we experience nothing as something, and we are confirming that is everything. This is called the illusion. So illusion is also a part of these three states where the I remains a witness.
Beautiful.
This is it.
Beautiful. Such a beautiful explanation. You know, there is this section, portion in this book, Conversations with Sai Baba, Dr. John Hislop. There he asks Swami, he says, Swami, this world is a dream. You say everything is a dream. So, but you are here. Are you also a dream? You are also a dream. You are sitting in front of me. And Swami says, yes, I am also a dream. But I am the dream lion. I, with my roar, I come to wake you up from this dream.
Exactly.
I come to wake you up from this dream. I am the dream lion. I come to wake you up from this dream that you have stooped into.
Wonderful.
So, that is what Swami...
In fact, in that Keno Upanishad, which sir was referring to, he puts it in one sentence very beautifully. The student goes and asks the teacher, what makes me hear? What makes me see? What makes me feel? So he says it is the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear.
Right.
You know, distinctly saying that the senses are inert. It is the mind which gives it, you know, chaitanya to,
or the stimulation.
And then he says, you think with the mind of the mind. Saying that, yes, your mind is having all the understanding and all that, but there is a mind of the mind, which means just like how mind is giving the energy to the senses, there is something which is illuminating the mind. Also. So he says, go back into that.
That is the eye. There is a backward integration.
Right.
Right. That's true.
Yes, someone, one of the spiritual masters says,
yes.
He says, all spiritual practice is to make that ego commit suicide. Kill itself.
And that's what Swami says, that's the meaning of the cross.
Right.
The Christian cross that Swami says, cut the eye, that cut the limited eye
the
and merge
eye, yes.
into the...
And
the
slam the eye, that is Islam. And put apart the eye, that is the Puttaparthi.
That is Puttaparthi. Beautiful, beautiful. So that's about the three states.
Yes.
And then Swami goes on to give the relationship between the three shariras. And he says gross body, subtle body and causal body.
And explains it through the koshas.
Koshas. Actually, that comes koshas. In where he says the Annamaya kosha refers to the gross body. The Pranamaya, Manomaya and Vijnanamaya refers to the subtle body. And Anandamaya refers to the causal body. And so what we have to understand from this is, apart from the physical body that our senses can see and perceive, we have two other bodies which we do not see. Is that right?
No, here, Sai Prakash, it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
We have not three bodies,
mm-hmm.
not mere three bodies.
Okay.
We are a combination of seven bodies.
Oh.
Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, three.
Mm-hmm.
Manas, mind.
Mm-hmm.
Buddhi,
mm-hmm.
intellect.
Mm-hmm.
Chitta, existence or awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Ahankara.
Ahankara. Mm-hmm.
So 4 + 3, these are seven bodies.
Oh.
The eighth is the Atma.
Mm-hmm.
That's called the eighth body.
Okay.
In Ashtanga Yoga or in Yoga Shastra, people say Turiya is ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a Turiya Atita. Turiya Atita is a Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Up to Turiya we can go, but we cannot reach Turiya Atita.
Mm-hmm.
That is his place. So also here, the all seven bodies, they govern us.
Mm-hmm.
We play our part in all the bodies. So, not three, but there are seven. Yeah.
So, the subtle and the causal body remain with us from life to life.
Right.
That's what it means. I mean, when the gross body is given up, the subtle and the causal body remain with us. So, all our memories and... Now, there's a very... simple trick that God has used in this creation. He has just put a little bit of delusion into us. And we are very easily identifying ourselves with the body, with
gross
the mind.
Body. Gross body.
And we get attached to it and that causes the repeated cycle of birth and death.
Yeah.
In day-to-day life, for example, now that you are aware that you are not this body, that the body is just worn by you, how does it reflect in day-to-day life? What does one do by knowing such a thing?
Yeah, the inference should be like this.
Mm-hmm.
Never say I am not the body.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a wrong perception.
Mm-hmm.
I am not body alone.
Okay.
That is the right way of understanding our body.
Correct.
If you say I am not body, you are contradicting yourself.
Correct.
You are challenging a reality. You are seen, you are heard, you are walking, you are talking, everything is there, it is happening through your body.
Correct.
The demonstration is perfect. How can you deny this? So, I am not mere body. I am not body alone. I am something beyond. That what beyond we have to explore. What is already distinctly visible, you need not discuss anything. It's available in front of you. So, I am not body is not a correct expression. All Vedantic theories put forward till now, they speak of the limitations of the body.
Okay.
It is impermanent.
Mm-hmm.
It is perishable, like that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a passive mood. But according to Sanatana Dharma, the Dharma says, the body is the greatest instrument in your hand given by God.
Oh.
And this is the greatest, one of the beautiful laboratory that God has provided. And play into it. Try to go deeper inside. For sadhana, you need body.
Correct.
For shodhana, for inquiry, you need body. When sadhana is over, when inquiry is over, the body conscious automatically vanishes. So never say, I am not body, I am beyond body consciousness, you can. But you cannot say, I am not body, I have nothing to do with the body. No, we have to do everything with the body. Without body, we cannot talk. Without body, we cannot read.
Correct, correct.
So body is a very, very powerful instrument according to me, through which mind reflects and Atma, the real I, guides. This is how it has to be interpreted.
Correct, sir. Very beautiful. Very beautiful.
And I think one of the discourses that Swami gave on the body, he gave a very simple example. He said you wear a shirt, he said that you wear a vest, and then you wear a coat on your shirt.
Right.
He said, it is not that you should not wear any of these, but you should know which comes where. If you wear your shirt and then wear your waist, he said, that is all.
True.
You understand the place of the body, understand the place of your mind, and accordingly carry your life.
You are right, Mr. Prem. Wonderful.
And then Swami goes on to give this explanation of the Hridaya. So here we start with the three states of sleep, deep sleep and waking. Then we go on to the three bodies, that is gross, subtle and casual, casual body. Now Swami says Hridaya is one that pervades everything. He says Hridaya is not referring to the physical heart. In fact, it's all pervading, and Hridaya is Aham, Hridaya is the Atma. Here this is a very interesting question, because you know, we are so used to this idea of saying that God, please come into my heart, reside in my heart. God is the heart. God is Hridaya. So he is not going to enter your heart, or he is not going to. That's an ideology we have grown up with. Nevertheless, if Hridaya is present everywhere, if Hridaya is Atma, is the Aham present everywhere, everything that we see and perceive, is it a reflection of the Hridaya, or is it a manifestation of Hridaya? How does it happen?
It's a very, very interesting question. Prashantilayam, the abode of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, we say, the world says. It means to understand, identify, and get in touch and gain proximity to Bhagavan, you have to reach Prashantilayam. You are far away from Prashantilayam. Is Swami not there? If you can understand and improve the level of understanding the whole thing, you draw a greater inference that our Swami is all-pervading.
Correct.
So is Hridaya. But to understand and to indulge in an academic discussion, people will ask, where is that Hridaya? Where is that Sthana? If we want to know where the mind is, the answer is, show me a place where it is not. Isn't it? It is all pervasive, like Hridaya. But it has got a twin purpose.
Okay.
One, to grant the moksha, or to develop a bondage with the world. It has got its own duty. We are not talking about mind now. This point, when it came for discussion and an inquiry, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi clearly clarified, in the human body, where is this Hridaya? On the left side, we have a Hridaya. That's called a heart.
Correct.
Okay? That is only a mechanical pump. It is a padartha. From here, and from the left, 1.5 inch towards your own right, each one's right, 1.5 inches away, there is a cave. That's called a Shuddha Shunya.
Oh.
It's an absolute vacuum. It looks like a cave. Hridaya Guha, Hridguha we use. Guha means there is nothing except a hollow space. That is your Hridaya. Then he says, Hridaya Kuhara Majje Kevalam Brahma Matram Yaham Ahamiti Sakshat Atma Rupena Bhati Hridivisha Manasasvam Chinvata Madzatava Pavana Charana Rodhat Atmanishto Bhavatvam. Simple. We light a lamp before Bhagavan. What we will do? We light and immediately put one vessel which has got so many holes around. Let there be a greater wind outside, it may cause some disturbance to the external objects. Whereas the light within that, it shines forth. It doesn't even waver. Like that, in that 1.5 inches away, there is a cave in which there is a primordial sound, which is called Pranavanada.
Okay.
Or the real nada that says, I.
Oh.
Yaham Ahamiti, Sakshat, in reality, Atma Rupena, in the form of Atma, Bhati, I'm shining. Try to understand. So where is that Atma? Atma is there. We have a watch. Watch tells you the time in terms of hours, minutes and seconds.
Correct.
But you never find battery. It is not distinctly visible. You cannot say there is no battery. If there is no battery, these three stop, they become different.
Correct.
So also the Atma, though invisible, it is ever present. That ever present Atma stimulates and it shines. Because of that, we are able to see. Swami was asked, Swami was put one question. Swami, people say Brahma Padardha, Atma, this and that. Atma is the source of everything. And from there, everything emanates. How to understand this? Swami's explanation is very simple. The naked eyes that cannot see. That is the first portion. Second portion, because of which these naked eyes could see the world, is Brahma Padartha. Wonderful, no? The eyes cannot see it. I cannot see on their own. But there is something which is causing the eyes to see, facilitating the eyes to see. Call it Brahma Padartha or Atma. That is not outside, that is within you. So today, when we want to know where exactly the eye, the real eye shines, it is in the heart cave. The heart cave, the location is already, that's why in jhana, contemplation, majority of the people say, focus on Ajna Chakra, between the two eyebrows. Shankara Bhagavad Pada also says, Trikuta Namune Sthimite Antarenge, he says, this is Trikuta Sthana. That's why we apply Vibhuti or Kumkum just to denote that there is Ajna Chakra. We want to reach or we have already reached it. Here I would like to, it's not a deviation but for confirmation I would like to say, we will take two Purana Purusha, Rama and Krishna.
Okay.
Sri Rama and Sri Krishna or Nama. Though Rama is a king, he can afford anything, you know. But he used only as only a chalk piece to have his nama. Lord Krishna used Kasturi Tilakam. They both wore at Ajna Chakra. Come down to the present age, see Bhagavan, he never wore any Tilakam.
Correct.
Because these two, Rama and Krishna, operated at Ajna Chakra, whereas Bhagavan operates beyond Ajna Chakra, that's why he is Turiyatita. This is how we have to understand. People will say, Baba is a Sanatana Dharma, Sanatana Sarathi. The fundamental is he doesn't wear even Tilak. He should wear. My answer is this. He is beyond Ajna Chakra.
Correct.
If he were to operate only from Ajna Chakra, even his glory and splendor would not have crossed the boundaries of this country. It's beyond, all pervasive. That's why the Hridaya is inside. And it is ever shining. It is in everybody's body, human body. And it shines. Only thing is, the tapa, swajhaya, make the potency stronger. In a greater personality, it guides thousands and lakhs of people. In an avatar, it guides trillions of people. An ordinary person should use that capacity, that conscious level, to awaken himself from the slumber and come to reality. That's why the Hridaya is within us. This is the location.
Beautiful. In fact, Swami, while telling this, he chanted that line from the Vedas, Antar Bahishchatat Sarvam Vyapya Narayana Sthitaha. He is present inside, outside, everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. Even Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, Ahamatma Guda Kesha. Ahamatma Guda Kesha.
Correct.
So the people who guide and who take out the people from the state of ajnana, the ignorance, they are called ahantas. Ahanta. They remove the ignorance for life. Then the same people, they become mahanta. They become closer. The ahanta mahanta concept is there in Sanatana Dharma.
Okay.
So one has to follow these two.
Yeah. I think in that context of that, Hridaya only, Swami gave that beautiful example of an iron ball which is hot. And Swami said, you touch it, you get burnt. You say, the iron ball burnt me. Swami is saying, it's not the iron ball, but it is the fire in the iron ball.
Iron ball.
And in that context, Swami says, where is the fire? It is Antar Bahishchatat
Sarvam. Correct, yes.
And Swami says, similarly, the world is the iron ball. That consciousness which is all-pervading is the fire. So all your experiences and all your interactions are with that consciousness,
exactly,
not with the the world.
And that consciousness is all-pervasive.
Right.
And all-pervading too. And if you know that you are not mere body, coming back to the original topic for discussion, if you start practicing that you are not mere body, or you are not the body alone, the conscious level will rise. Mm-hmm. When conscious level rises, mm-hmm. the body consciousness will go. The mind will not register. Otherwise, how I am? Am I looking beautiful? Am I strong? Am I weak? Am I presentable to the society? You see, that's why the splendor, the glow, the sheen that we see in Mahatmas is natural.
Correct.
Because what is there inside is glowing outside. That's it.
When we look at Swami, when we see his...
The most masculine, feminine beauty combo. It is both. You can't see a feminine beauty than Swami's.
Mm.
When he walks or when he... His gestures.
Mm.
And when Swami speaks and when he interacts with the people, it's the most masculine beauty. If you can combine both, I tell you here, for our listeners, one day I was telling Swami when I met him in 1990 during one of those interviews, Swami, you appeared in my dream. He said. You appeared like wearing a Kanjivaram sari and you are looking very beautiful. I am not only madam, but I am Adam also, he said. So that is Ardhanarishvara. So what made him, what made me say this? It is all your perception. Even dream in which I saw Swami is my perception of the internal senses. But because it is related to Bhagavan, it gave me happiness. Had I seen some apsarasa, my senses would have taken a different direction. Because I had the vision of Bhagavan, my senses also got sanctified.
Beautiful.
They enjoyed it.
In fact, when we were discussing in one of the earlier discourses about meditation, when Swami was speaking about meditation, what exactly you have to do? In fact, Swami gave this beautiful explanation to one of our students, senior students. Swami told him, you see my face? You have faith in me? He said, yes, Swami. But you see how beautiful my face is. When you see my hair, then you see this big forehead, then you see my eyes, then you see my nose. So he says, close your eyes, start revealing my form. In your mind's eye, start with the hair, then you see the broad forehead, then you see the eyes, then you see the nose, then you see my smile, how beautiful it is. Then he says, come to my chin. After that, go straight to my feet. That's why I have come with such a simple form. You see my, reveal my face and then go straight to my feet.
Exactly.
And again from feet you go up, upward. So, in fact, Swami even said, if somebody is a devotee of Lord Shiva, how difficult it must be. He has to remember the third eye, he has to remember the snake, he has to remember the moon, he has to remember the Ganga. By the time he remembers all that, he'll fall asleep.
Exactly.
So, the beauty is the greatest truth Swami brings out in such a beautiful way.
Simple.
And this portion where the next portion after this Hridayam, Swami gives a very subtle and a very beautiful link. He says, how do you go about doing anything? How do you go about achieving anything? That is because of love, because you feel a sense of oneness, you feel a bonding.
Right.
Sense of belonging.
Belonging.
Yeah.
Here he says, similarly you should feel this is my Atma. You should have that sense of belonging to the Atma.
Correct.
And that is true devotion.
Yes.
So, true devotion is having...
Yeah, you were referring to some meditation aspects.
Yes.
Yeah.
That meditation I brought about because of Swami's form and how beautifully he explained. When you are talking about Swami's beauty, he says, see my beauty.
That is enough. Contemplate on it.
Correct.
Here... as far as meditation is concerned, again for the benefit of the listener and to the world, Swami gave a beautiful direction.
Okay.
The direction is valid for life.
Mm-hmm.
Never indulge in meditation beyond 28 minutes 44 seconds.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
28 minutes 44 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Precisely half an hour.
Mm.
People say, I'm in meditation for 7 years, 7 hours, 10 hours. I'm very much into it. He says, it is all self-deception.
Oh.
Human body cannot be stable beyond that particular time. of 28 minutes 44 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
As a neurology suggests,
mm-hmm.
bring the best speaker in the world, mm-hmm. including Bhagavan, mm-hmm. Swami himself said.
Mm-hmm.
Let him speak beyond 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes the human mind can absorb, can understand. 46th minute, it stops recording.
Mm.
So the best speech should not exceed beyond 45 minutes.
Oh.
The best real meditation should not exceed half an hour. Mm. Here, Swami also refers to Praudhanubhuti of Shankaracharya and says, Brahmaiva smiti sadvritya niralambayata sthiti jhana shabdena vikhyata paramananda dhayini. In these two lines, Swami spoke very well in one of the interviews granted to us. Always say, Brahmaiva smiti. I am Brahman. I am not the body alone.
Mm.
Brahman is in me, first.
Mm.
I am experiencing Brahman.
Mm.
I experienced Brahman. I have become Brahman.
Mm.
Then, Brahmaiva asmi iti.
Mm.
Then what happens? Sadvritya. We have chitta vrittis.
Mm-hmm.
When you control them, it's called yoga. We have manovrittis, we have body vrittis,
mm-hmm.
tendencies. But the sadvritya, even atma, has got vritti. Vritti means some function. The function is not only to remain in the state of witnessing, but it is also the cause for all actions.
Oh.
That is why sadvritya, the atma awakes, to make the jiva to indulge in very, very perfect actions. In these 28 minutes, 44 seconds, this we have to achieve.
Mm.
Brahmaiva smiti sadvrittya. Then third stage is, benefit is, niralambayata sthiti, a state of non-dependence, not a state of independence. It is different.
Mm.
When you are independent, you choose to do whatever you want, whatever your mind dictates.
Mm.
But a state of non-dependence, you will not depend upon anybody. Bhagavan never depended upon anybody. He said, with a grass I will run this organization. A blade of grass is enough for me. He will impart, he will transmit that energy. If one can achieve in true meditation these three, this alone should be called as a jhana. Jhana shabdena vikhyata. And what is such meditation grants to the person who indulged in such a great meditation? Paramananda dayini. The Brahmananda is bestowed upon you by following this particular meditation. Because you said, no Swami, you look to me,
correct.
You focus on my beauty, you focus on my physical form. It takes only few minutes to focus on.
Correct.
Then we close our eyes. We retrieve. Then slowly everything disappears. Even Swami's form also vanishes.
Correct.
Then what remains is only the shine. Raso vaisaha. God has no form. Then you see only the light. Then that light is Bhagavan.
Beautiful.
So this is the meditation which Swami taught to the world. Yeah.
Amazing, sir. Amazing. So that's what here then Swami goes on to say, what is the kind of sadhana that you should do? The only sadhana that you should do is go above the body consciousness and get atmic consciousness. In fact, here Swami actually says that when somebody is involved in meditation, the person who is meditating is also vanishes. The person whom you are meditating upon is also gone. There is only one.
The state of meditation remains.
Remains.
That's all. Correct.
And I think Swami concludes that clip with this beautiful analogy, simple analogy. He says, when you boil water, how the
vapor
goes and covers the sun. In the same way, these go and cover the light of the Atma. The mano, buddhi, chitta.
Chitta, ahankara, all the four.
They block the light of the Atma. When that is eliminated, Atma always remains.
Wonderful.
He said the same sun which causes the vapor and the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean the same what is caused comes and covers the sun itself.
Sun itself.
The cloud comes in. That's
right.
The way we stopped. So shall we proceed to the?
I think we
clip?
Can play the next clip
sure.
To see what Swami said.
Ee manasane itvadi yemiti. What is mind then? Kevalamu మన యొక్క భ్రాంతుని యొక్క స్వరూపమే మనస్సు. మైండ్ ఈజ్ ద కాంగ్లోమరేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద డెల్యూజన్స్. మన భ్రాంతులను క్రమక్రమేణా కూడా అణగదొక్కడానికి ప్రయత్నించాలి. సప్రెస్ ఆల్ ది డెల్యూజన్స్, రిమూవ్ ఆల్ ది డెల్యూజన్స్. కానీ ఈనాటి సాధకులు భక్తులమని సాధకులమని మనం భావించుకుంటూ దినదినానికి ఆశలు పెరిగిపోతున్నాయి, సంకల్పాలు అభివృద్ధి అవుతున్నాయి. బట్ టుడే సాధకాస్ కాల్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ సాధకాస్ అండ్ డివోటీస్, బట్ దేర్ డిజైర్స్ ఆర్ గ్రోయింగ్ డే బై డే. వీరికి ఏనాడు ఈ యొక్క ఆత్మస్థితి లభ్యమవుతుంది? హౌ కెన్ వన్ రీచ్ ది స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ? సాధ్యమే కాదు. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ అట్ ఆల్ పాసిబుల్. క్రమక్రమేణా మన స్వప్రయోజనాలను అణగదొక్కాలి. గ్రాడ్యువల్లీ వి షుడ్ రిమూవ్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ అండ్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్ ఫ్రమ్ అస్. కనుక ఈ స్వార్థం అనేటువంటిది మానవుని ఇన్ని విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క వికారునిగా గావించుతున్నది. ఫర్ ఆల్ ది పర్వర్సిటీస్ ఇన్ మ్యాన్, ఇట్ ఈస్ దిస్ మైండ్ అండ్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్ విచ్ ఆర్ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్. ప్రపంచమునందు విశాలమైనటువంటి యొక్క దివ్య భావాన్ని మనము అభివృద్ధి గావించుకోవటానికి తగిన కృషి చేయాలి. వీ షుడ్ మేక్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ అండ్ ఎండివర్ టు డెవలప్ బ్రాడ్ మైండెడ్నెస్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్. ఈనాడు ప్రపంచ మార్పులకు అనేక రకమైనటువంటి ప్రయత్నములు సలుపుతున్నారు. ఫర్ బ్రింగ్ అబౌట్ చేంజ్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్ వేరియస్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ ఆర్ వ్యక్తి మారక ప్రపంచం ఏ రీతిగా మారుతుంది? హౌ కెన్ యూ చేంజ్ ది వరల్డ్ వితౌట్ చేంజింగ్ ద మ్యాన్? వ్యక్తుల యొక్క సమూహమే ప్రపంచము. World is a conglomeration of men. కనుక మొట్టమొదట ప్రపంచాన్ని మనం మార్చాలనుకున్నప్పుడు వ్యక్తి మారాలి. ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు చేంజ్ ది వరల్డ్ ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్ యూ హావ్ టు చేంజ్ ది మ్యాన్. వ్యక్తి ఎందున్నటువంటి దుర్గుణములను మనం దూరం చేసుకోవాలి. యూ హావ్ టు రిమూవ్ ది ఈవిల్ టెండెన్సీస్ ఇన్ మ్యాన్ ఇన్ ది వెరీ ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్. పవిత్రమైన భావాలు వ్యక్తి ఎందు అభివృద్ధి గావించుకోవాలి. డెవలప్ గుడ్ థాట్స్ ఇన్ మ్యాన్. వ్యక్తి మంచివాడైనప్పుడే సమాజం మంచిదవుతుంది. When the individual is good, the society will be good. Samajam manchidainappude manam desham manchidiga roopondipovu. When the society is good, the nation will be good.
Prema swaroopulara
mottamota vyaktitvanni manam pavitramainatundi shaktitiga manam marchukovali.
Embodiments of divine love. We have to sanctify our own individuality by filling ourselves with good thoughts.
Chaduvulaina chadavachchu.
One may study any amount of
ఎన్ని పదవులైనా ఏలవచ్చు.
వన్ మే ఆక్యుపై
ఎంత ధనమునైనా ఆర్జించవచ్చు.
వన్ మే ఎర్న్ ఏ లాట్ ఆఫ్
ఎంత కీర్తినైనా సంపాదించవచ్చు.
ఎర్న్ ఏ లాట్ ఆఫ్ రెప్యుటేషన్.
ఇవన్నీ శాశ్వతమా?
ఆర్ ఆల్ దీస్
తన తత్వాన్ని తాను గుర్తించు కనుక ఏమేమో నేను దర్శించినాననుకుంటే ఇది కేవలం వెర్రితనమే.
Without having a vision of your own real self, if you get a vision of various people and persons,
తనను తాను తెలియనటువంటి వాడు ఎన్ని తెలుసుకుని ప్రయోజనం ఏమిటి?
If a man does not know who he really is, what is the use of his knowing anything else?
లక్షణమైన అంతరిక్షయానం చేస్తున్నాడు కానీ అరయించైన హృదయాంతరాళానికి ప్రయాణం చేయటం లేదు.
Man is traveling into millions of miles into space, but he is not able to go even an inch within himself.
ఇది కాదు మనం చేయవలసిన ప్రయాణము.
This is not the journey which we have to undertake.
మనం మనసును అంతర్ముఖం గావించుకోవాలి.
Introvert your mind.
బహిర్ముఖంలో ఉండినంత వరకు ప్రపంచమే మనకు ప్రత్యక్ష దర్శనంగా గోచరిస్తుంది.
యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ మైండ్ గోస్ అవుట్ సైడ్ వాట్ యు సీ ఈజ్ ది ఓన్లీ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్.
ఈ ప్రపంచం ఉండినంత వరకు సుఖదుఃఖములు మనకు తక్కువ.
యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ దేర్ ఇస్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ యు విల్ బి ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ జాయ్.
ఎంతో దూరం మనం పోనక్కర్లేదు.
దేర్ ఇస్ నో నీడ్ ఫర్ గోయింగ్.
నిద్రలో మనకు ప్రపంచం లేదు.
ఇన్ డీప్ స్లీప్ యు డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ది వరల్డ్.
ప్రపంచం లేనప్పుడు మనసు లేదు.
When there is no world, there is no mind.
మనసు లేనప్పుడు సుఖదుఖములు లేవు.
When there is no mind, there is no joy or sorrow.
ఒక్క నిద్రావస్థలో మనసును అరికట్టుకోవటం చేతనే మనకు సుఖదుఖములు అరికట్టినటువంటి వారం అవుతున్నాం.
We have controlled our joys and sorrows by removing mind in the
కనుక మానవుడు నిత్య శాంతి సంతోషం కావాలనుకుంటే మొట్టమొదట మనసును అరికట్టాలి.
If you really want to enjoy bliss in life, control your mind.
పరమాత్మ వైపున ప్రయాణం సాగించాలి.
Divert your mind towards God.
ఆ వైపున నడిపించాలి.
యూ హ్యావ్ టు మేక్ ద మైండ్ మూవ్.
అదే నిజమైనటువంటి సాధన.
దాట్ ఈజ్ రియల్ సాధన.
అంతేకాని ఏదో జపములు ధ్యానములు అన్ని చేస్తున్నామంటే ఇవి కేవలము కాలము వ్యర్థం గావించినటువంటి వారమే అవుతాం.
ఆల్ ది అదర్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్ అండ్ జప ఆర్ ఎ వేస్ట్ ఆఫ్ టైం.
మనసును మార్చుకోవాలి మొట్టమొదట.
ఇన్ ది వెరీ ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్ యువర్ మైండ్.
మారక మనిషి ఎంత మారినా ప్రయోజనం లేదు.
వితౌట్ చేంజ్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ ఎనీ చేంజ్ ఇన్ ద మ్యాన్.
గుణము మారక గుడ్డలు ఎన్ని మార్చినా ప్రయోజనం లేదు.
వితౌట్ చేంజింగ్ ది క్వాలిటీస్ చేంజ్ ఆఫ్ క్లోత్స్ విల్ నాట్ డూ మచ్.
కనుక ఈనాడు మనం మార్చుకోవాల్సినటువంటిది గుణములు మార్చుకోవాలి.
దేర్ ఫోర్ వీ హావ్ టు చేంజ్ అవర్ ఓన్ క్వాలిటీ.
అవి సద్గుణములుగా మారాలి.
There is need for a total transformation of bad qualities into good qualities. We have to transform them into divine thoughts. This is the real message. Today is Guru Purnima Day.
Purnima anaga emiti?
What do you mean by Purnima?
Anaga Chandrudu paripurnamaina sthitilo undatam.
Purnima refers to full moon. Moon.
Ee Chandrudu endundinatundi 16 kalalu kudanu aa yokka Surya Kirtana lopala linamai potamu.
All these 16 aspects which moon has will be full on that particular day.
Kanukane Suryuni yokka pratibimbamainatundi manasu nandukolalu 16 gunamulu untunnayi.
There are 16 aspects in the mind which is a reflection of moon.
Arishat vargamulo aru.
Six enemies.
Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mala, matsyamu.
Desire, anger, greed.
Ee arinti endunu rendu tamo gunamu rajo gunamu.
Out of these six there are two.
Ivi enemidi.
Tamo guna and rajo guna. These two
are madamulu.
All these are eight tribes.
Kula madamu. ధన మదము విద్యామదము యవ్వన గమనము సౌందర్య మదము
ది ప్రైడ్ ఆఫ్ క్యాస్ట్ ది ప్రైడ్ ఆఫ్
తప మదము
ది ప్రైడ్ ఆఫ్
సత్యమదము కుల మదము ఈ ఎనిమిది మదములు కూడాను చేరాలి. ఈ ఎనిమిది ఆ ఎనిమిది రెండు చేరటం వల్లే 16 గుణములుగా మానవుడు రూపొందుతున్నాడు.
Man is having 16 aspects in the form of
ఈ 16 గుణములు కూడాను ఏనాడు మనము అర్పితము గావించుకుంటుందో ఆనాడే మనం పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణమదచ్చితి అప్పుడే మనం పూర్ణ స్వరూపులుగా అవుతాం.
వన్స్ వీ ఫ్రీ అవర్ గర్ల్స్ ఫ్రమ్ దీస్ 16 డిఫెక్ట్స్ 16 క్వాలిటీస్ దెన్ వీ బికమ్ ఎ ఫుల్ మ్యాన్.
అట్టి గుణరహితమైనటువంటి స్థితిని మనం కలిగినప్పుడే మనము పరిపూర్ణమైనటువంటి యొక్క స్వరూపాన్ని పొందిన వారం అవుతాం.
వన్స్ వీ ట్రాన్సెండ్ ఆల్ దీస్ క్వాలిటీస్ we really become a man with all its fullness.
Atti paripurna sthitine purnima annaru.
That state of fullness and perfection is called purnima.
Ee purnima sthitini teppincheetundi vaadu evaru atane guru.
That is a real preceptor who brings her to the state of perfection.
Guru anaga kevalamu gunatitamainatundi vaadu roopa rahitamainatundi vaadu.
When we say guru or preceptor, he is one who has transcended the qualities and who does not have
any duradrushtavashattu inaadu aneka gunamulu kaliginatundi vaade gurulu avutunnaru.
But today unfortunately the preceptors are full of qualities.
Inaadi gurulu kante shishyude uttamulaga kanipistunnaru.
The disciples today seem to be much better than
shishyulu tyagam chestunnaru.
The disciples are undertaking sarvamulu
bhogu chestunnaru.
The preceptors are acquiring
kanukani inaadu lokam anetundi edi guruvo edi shishyulo cheppadaniki veelu kaanetundi sthitilo untundi.
That is the reason why in today's world it is difficult to say who is the preceptor and who is the disciple.
Manavuni endukudunu oka vidhamainatundi amayakatvam avriddhi avutu vastuntundadi.
There is some kind of innocence developing even in them.
Edo oka peddavaru chuste vaari daggariki poi mantropadesham cheskovali.
Whenever any person sees someone elderly or gray, he wants to go and get some mantra. What is this type of mantra?
Nee tattvani nee kanukodame nijamaina mantra.
If you know your own real nature, that becomes real mantra.
Nee mantra nee chotane untundadi.
You have got your real mantra.
Nee mantra yantra tantra swarupudavu.
You are the very form of mantra yantra and tantra.
Nee yokka uchchasa nishwasamule nee mantra.
Your inhaling and exhaling is the real
Ade
mantra.
So hum, so hum, ade mantra.
In your inhaling there is this mantra going on. So
nene adi ade nenu nene adi ade nenu ade mantra.
This mantra repeats, I am that, that am I am that and that am I.
ఇంకా యంత్రం ఏమిటి? నీ దేహమే ఒక యంత్రం.
యువర్ ఫిజికల్ బాడీ ఇస్ ద యంత్ర ఆర్ ద మెషిన్.
తంత్రం ఏమిటి? నీ హృదయమే ఒక తంత్రం.
వాట్ ఈస్ ద తంత్ర దెన్? యువర్ హార్ట్.
ఈ మంత్ర యంత్ర తంత్రములు నీవే అయి ఉంటుంది. నీ మంత్రాలు ఇంకొకరి దగ్గర ప్రబోధిస్తున్నావు అంటే నీవెంత బలహీనుడు.
వెన్ యు ఆర్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఎ కాంబినేషన్ ఆఫ్ మంత్ర యంత్ర అండ్ తంత్ర,
ఎంత అగ్రహం లేవు.
యు ఆర్ అప్రోచింగ్ అనదర్ పర్సన్ ఫర్ మంత్ర.
ఇలాంటి అజ్ఞానులకు బయట నుంచి వచ్చేటువంటి ప్రబోధుల చేత ఏమైనా విజ్ఞానం లభిస్తుందా?
వాట్ ఎన్ ఇగ్నోరెంట్ పర్సన్ యు ఆర్ అండ్ హౌ కెన్ మంత్రాస్ ఫ్రమ్ అదర్ పర్సన్ సేవ్ యు?
అసాధ్యము, అసాధ్యం.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇంపాసిబుల్, నథింగ్ కెన్ సేవ్ యు.
That was the end of that clip. I think Swami was coming to the theme of the Guru within in the, towards the end of that clip. I think Swami is continuing from that previous clip where Swami was talking about the mind, and the only sadhana that you have to do is control the delusion of the mind by controlling the desires in the mind.
Yes, yes.
And the beautiful point that he had made earlier, I think we didn't refer to that, where Swami is talking about how everything which is related to the mind and the delusion of the mind can be controlled by beginning with swartha and suprayojana, by annihilating and, you know, having a control over selfishness and selflessness.
True.
And this was another point which Swami had earlier mentioned also about man's inquisitiveness to know about everybody around but to know about oneself.
Self.
Right.
He says, in fact, I am a fan of the statement which Nisargadatta Maharaj has told, and I look at it as a central sentence in the entire book. He says, the best way to help another person is to put him beyond the need for help. best
yes,
way.
Yes.
So he says, here Swami says, there is no point in looking at the world. First you transform yourself.
Yourself.
Look within. And once you transform yourself, then you can help others by putting them in a state where they do not need further help.
So, yeah, before commenting on this, Swami also mentioned, I was listening to,
mm-hmm.
how to annihilate mind.
Mm-hmm.
Though not in these words,
mm-hmm.
Swami once said,
mm-hmm.
you have a mind.
Mm-hmm.
We use the mind blowing, mind flowing, like that many adjectives we use.
Mm-hmm.
And here, when you have a mind, if you really want to annihilate it, make that mind the mild.
Okay.
Make the mild mm-hmm. by increasing sattva guna mm-hmm. or by eliminating rajo tamo guna. That mm-hmm. also he was referring to. When the mind becomes mild, what you have to do is bend that mind.
Hmm.
When you bend the mind according to your sadhana or penance or whatever, hmm. spiritual sadhana,
mm-hmm.
the mind has become mild.
Mm-hmm.
Mild mind has been bent.
Mm-hmm.
Then mend it. Then finally end it.
End it.
Hmm. Bend, mend and end.
End.
This is the process. Unless you do this, you cannot redefine yourself. You cannot correct yourself. You cannot refine yourself. So for sadhana, the individual has to undergo a great deal of metamorphosis, that what we call the transformation, not at peripheral level, but at a very, very deeper level. So what we call the loka-lokantara prana, or in medical parlance, we call it the libido.
Mm-hmm.
The libido is like a Pandora box.
Mm.
Huh? We never try to open it. Open the libido.
Mm.
Allow all the thoughts, vacate that box. Empty the box. When you empty the mind, you can invite new thoughts, very healthy thoughts, positive thoughts, to help yourself, to upgrade yourself in sadhana. This is, Swami was referring to about the mind, and I thought it fit I should say a bit of explanation here.
Very nice.
The other beautiful point that Swami makes here is he says, we're referring to sleep and good sleep. Swami is saying that a little bit of good sleep gives you so much of peace of mind. Because in that good sleep, in that deep sleep, your mind is silent. So imagine if you're able to silence your mind in your wakeful state, how much peace of mind and how much stillness it will give you.
Yes. And in fact, it radiates to others too.
Right, very true.
And then Guru Purnima, then Swami goes on to the Guru Purnima and the different aspects 16 kalas of weaknesses, how we have to get over that and merge it into the Atma.
Atma.
Basically, he is referring to the moon as the reflection of the sun.
Sun.
And how similarly the mind is a reflection of sun god.
Yes.
Sir, in this context of Guru, I am sure you have given many talks on the aspect of Dakshinamurti, which has always fascinated me. How in silence he imparts the greatest wisdom.
Wisdom. Yeah, I would like to add only one dimension to what Swami has already said about the Guru Purnima. Arishadvarga 6. Then
Ashtamadas.
Fourteen.
Rajotamo.
Rajotamo, he said. In that Swami, in some other context, he also said, instead of using Rajotamo, the 6 plus 8, 14, the one that is experiencing the body, plus Chitkala, Atma, that Chitkala, the constant awareness. So, I think in this context, same Swami's explanation only. Instead of calling it Rajotamo, we will use the body and the
Chitkala.
Atma.
Okay, okay.
So, that Chitkala is Atma. Without Chitkala, without that Atma, without Paramatma, without Bhagavan, there is nothing. This is the inference. Yeah.
Beautiful. Sir, you were mentioning about this constant integrated awareness.
Awareness.
When Swami mentions, he would mention, what exactly does he mean by that?
Yeah, at all times, in all avasthas, in all states of mind, in all bodies, in all births, in all times, in all the words that are celestial and mundane, which pervades, is constant awareness.
Be aware.
Be aware. And be still. And Swami also used to speak about constant integrated awareness. This is the new word Swami only coined. What is that integrated awareness? Awareness is awareness. The integration should be with the self.
Okay.
Always entertain only one thought. Atmanishto bhavatvam. I am not the body alone. I am this supreme self. Not the self alone. I am the supreme self because I have emanated from him. Suppose you take a small bar, golden bar, and cut into two pieces. What will come out of that? Only golden bar will come. Isn't it? So also, when though you appear to be alienated from the Supreme Self, you are not alienated. You are continuously, eternally connected to Him. Like the sun rays, are they away from, they may be away from the sun, but have they lost the link?
No.
If they lose the link, the rays will not reach. So also Sushumna rays, that is Chandrakala. So they are also not away from, they are not disassociated from this. So this is called the constant integrated awareness. And it is all pervading, it is eternal. Then coming to your question about Dakshinamurti. Since Swami is talking about so many gurus, he is very critical of the mantra gurus. he is very critical of bogus gurus or pseudo gurus. At the same time, he says Guru is the ultimate.
Correct.
He dispels ignorance. That is a very simple explanation. He further says he is beyond guna, he is beyond rupa. That is beyond form. Gunatita, rupa rahita is Guru. Then we have so many gurus like Bodha Guru, Badha Guru, Loka Guru, Shoka Guru, Vachaka Guru, Suchaka Guru, Mochaka Guru, Nishiddha Guru, Karana Guru. Suchaka Guru, he indicates, this is the path, that's all, his job is over. Mochaka Guru, he will tell you what is moksha, what is liberation, what is salvation. He will guide you in that direction. There is another, Vachaka Guru, he teaches you, he preaches you, and he leaves you. Then there is a Nishiddha Guru, who tells you what to do and what not to do. But we get one final guru called Karana Guru, who is a combination of all these positive gurus. But Bodha Guru is there, At the same time, there is a Badaguru. Swami referred to them. Because Sishya is sacrificing, Guru is accumulating. This combination should be avoided, which is prevalent to today in this world. Swami is very critical of them. That's why the Guru-Sishya Parampara, it is not from today. It is from Dakshinamurti, times of Dakshinamurti. Dakshinamurti is nothing but the source of intelligence. That's why he is called Medha Dakshinamurti. Dakshinamurti is no form. After reciting the Dakshinamurti Stotram, Shankara Bhagavad Pada says one sentence, Pratima Ishwaraha. If you want to know God, we have to say this. When he wears a kodanda, you can call him Rama. When he wears Venu, call him Krishna. So also, this Dakshinamurti has no form. But only to make you understand that there is a young guru under the tree, and there are very wise sishyas who are much elder in age and knowledge, but eager to receive the ultimate knowledge from the younger sishya, Yuvanam. Maunavyakhya prakritita parabrahma tattvam Yuvanam. Yuvanam means yavana. Yavana, ever young. So that eternal young person is still sitting there. That's why I have drawn the picture of Dakshinamurti with a tree, sishyas, this and that. Understand Dakshinamurti Stotram, forget the form. There is no Dakshinamurti. Dakshina has become Amurta. He has become formless. Only to explain you the form of Guru. He was wearing a Chinmudra. His eyes are half closed. He is drawn unto himself. He is not talking. He is maintaining utter silence. He is in deep contemplation. Only to tell you, make you understand Dakshinamurti, I am speaking about him. But please forget, there is no Dakshinamurti. Amurta, remove that form. Otherwise, whatever we have been talking will become redundant.
Correct.
So from Swarupa, move on to Arupa. Here, you have put a very vital question. How the knowledge, wisdom, is transmitted through Mauna. How it reaches the listener or receiver? It is through transmission. There are two types of gurus. One is a transporter. The other is a transmitter. The teacher, the guru, who transports, indulges in informing you what is already available in the books. He will read a poem, he will explain. He will recite a shloka, he will explain. In that he will tell you the beauty of the word, then the beauty of the sound, the beauty of the sentence, the vyakarana, everything. Alankara, all, everything he will explain, except the purport which the receiver has to receive. So he will just take the material from one place. No, transmitter. He is transporting.
Transporting.
Like a parcel van.
Okay.
It is there. It is for you to understand. But transmitter, the guru, the turbine is generating power somewhere in Srishailam. Here, when we are talking, we are enjoying the power. So we have nothing to do with the turbine.
Correct.
But without turbine, there is no power. He made it so simple and so easy. Switch on, light is on. Switch on, fan is on. So also, the guru doesn't need any words to explain. Because his mind is pure, it is indeed expansive, it is all-pervading, it can perceive anything, any knowledge, and whatever he receives, because he has no swartha, because he has no selfishness, and it is his duty to transmit, he does it. For that, Shankara Bhagavad Pada says, Praudha Praudha Nijanubhuti Karita Daitendra Jalo Guruhu Svachishya Bodhaya Tat Satcham Asritavan. What does it mean? A real guru always looks forward to have one disciple to receive whatever he has experienced. And it is the duty of the guru to impart whatever knowledge, whatever experience he has already got. It is his duty. That's why Swami always says, it is my duty. See, small, he does some, he helps. Immediately we say, Swami, we are thankful. Swami, you are great, you are God. No, it is my duty, he says, simply. I performed my duty. So he absolves himself. So this transmission is not new in Sanatana Dharma. You take a small fish in water.
Mm.
It delivers eggs onto the surface of the water. The fish doesn't move. It doesn't breathe any air into the egg. It keeps on watching how it is floating. By a mere look, a constant focused look, the egg turns into a small fish, baby fish. That is why the Jagajjanani is called Meenakshi.
Oh.
Meenakshi. Like that, she is not mere in Madhura.
Mm.
She is Madurai. She is here also.
Mm.
That's why she is called Meenakshi.
Mm.
Through her gracious looks. Then, there is another. She is Jagadakshi.
Mm.
The entire Jagat, the entire creation is like an eye.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps you under that watch. You are under scan, like that.
Hmm.
You are in a CC camera, like that. You are under the watch of Jagajjanani. That is why she is called Vishalakshi.
Oh.
Vishalakshi, Meenakshi. Hmm. Akshi means eye.
Eye.
So also, we don't go to Kasi. She gives you a morsel of food.
Hmm.
Wherever you get, it is the mother. Wherever you get, it is a Varanasi. So also, whenever your prosperity grows, and whenever you become rich in knowledge, it is all because of Meenakshi from Madurai. Like that. So the transmission is not new. The real Guru, for instance, Bhagavan. See, we are all talking now. Who is giving this transmission? Do we have books around? Do we have Shastras with us? Did we do penance? But he is making us speak with an authority. The authority is transmitted from Bhagavan to us. So when this is true, the case of Dakshinamurti with a Chinmudra, you know Chinmudra, no?
Yes.
The all three gunas, they get alienated.
Correct.
And the two fingers, they touch the Jiva and the Daiva. And then the combination is perfect. There is a unison and you are in communion and in communication and in association with the Lord gives you, he transmits. So also Dakshinamurti transmitted, all continues to transmit the knowledge from one source to the other and from one level to the other. And it always drizzles from the top, not from the bottom.
Correct.
Top to bottom. Not from bottom to top.
Beautiful, sir.
And I think even as you're telling that, I'm constantly remembering what Swami had told and you referred to, that a listener's attention span is only 45 minutes. I think we have crossed well beyond that.
Okay.
But indeed, it is very beautiful, sir, to have you here. And Guru Purnima, even as we said, I was just reminded of a commentary for a Gita Shloka where it is said that disciple should approach a guru, pariprashna, you know,
tadvidhi pranipata,
sevaya. So he said you should offer seva, you should ask the right questions, and you should surrender. And this particular person who is giving the commentary, he said, so first and foremost, you have to find a guru who is worth surrendering. So he said,
exactly.
And the moment I read that, I felt how fortunate we all are. We have found a guru who is more than worth our surrender. And I think that is what we all have to be grateful for. And even as we go through this discourse, that is the gratitude which overflows from our heart. So, sir, thank you very much for being with us. It was indeed an enlightening company to have you here.
Sai Ram, to both the youngsters who evinced a keen interest in the spiritual practices and took a great interest in the spiritual texts, this is how we can pray for the grace of the rishis and also imbibe the absolute knowledge, maybe by continuous practice, intense practice. Let Bhagavan grant the thing to the person who said and to those who listened to us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Sai Ram, sir. Sai Ram, sir.
Thank you, dear listeners, for being with us. So this is the end of this week's program. We'll join you next week to continue with this discourse. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.